Well, at least I know who Josh is. Let there be light. Well, good morning. I think the mic is working properly. I believe I have 40 minutes or so. Go for it. So, hello, everybody.
Thank you.
My name is really Edward, but everybody calls me Eduardo, so please continue to call me Eduardo if you want. For those who do not know the last name, how to say it, Saudi Arabia, remove the Saudi and stick to the Arabia and put an S, Sarabia. There you go. Now you know, and I'm not from the Middle East. I might look like, but no. Colombian, by the way, South American, and the people from Westville says hello. In all reality, we were going to come, the whole group is 12 of us, but they wanted to stay, and they sent me here as a lone ranger, but the Lord is with me. God is with me. So, brothers, I want to share with you something very simple, but deep at the same time. I have a couple of disclaimers. English is my second language, as you can tell. I might not pronounce some things here and there, so just bear with me a little bit. The other is I do have another Bible translation with me. It's simple, easier to read English than the this and thous from the King James. So that's another little disclaimer before we get started. In our younger years, and we all have been there, when we were kids playing around, we remember with fond memories our younger years. We experienced love even in our younger years. I was very into romantic situations even when I was like 7 years old, believe it or not. Don't judge. I believe some of us started with, you know, their love affairs when they were all teenagers, but something that comes to my memory is when we exchanged messages with the cute girl that we liked, or, you know, we exchanged little letters, and these letters, they had to be encrypted, obviously, because we didn't want anybody to read them. So she probably had the codes, different letters we changed. We also had different languages. Never heard of the F language. It's not a bad word. It's, you know, Falafili, Falafestola. Okay, how about the Chu? Chujo, Chino, Chusa, Chua, Chula, Chusi. It's not Spanish. This is a made-up language, so you can communicate with that special person or that little group that you have, that you had back then. This is pre-internet time. This is pre-computers, actually, time. So, something interesting is that these encrypted messages, sometimes they were too difficult even for the receiver. Even with the cheat sheet, they couldn't even understand. And it is important to be in the circle, in the inner circle, to know what the person is trying to say. In the scriptures, we find something similar. It's called the parables. The parables are something that the Lord used to express a message to those who were able to understand. But those who did not have the cheat sheet or the codes were not. And today we're going to be looking at some parables, in particular one, and the way the Lord used it, and maybe learn a little bit something from these parables. So the parables are a way to express something without giving all the information. Encrypted message, so those who have the knowledge will understand, and those who do not have the knowledge will not. Those who have the spirit of understanding will understand, and those who do not have the spirit of understanding will not understand. Very basic, but that was the idea of a parable. And a parable, by the way, is just a story using something else, like an illustration. So let us pray, and let's dive into the Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence among us. We thank you because we know that if we gather together and it is not in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not doing anything, Lord. But We are so grateful that you are here with us. And we ask you, Lord, this morning that your Holy Spirit move among us. Help us, Lord, to read the word, your word, and to learn from it and to be able to put it into practice into our lives. Thank you, O Lord, for giving us the opportunity to gather in your name freely in this country. We pray for those places where this is not allowed. We pray for our brothers and sisters in persecuted areas. Once again, we thank you for your scripture, and we ask you, Lord, that you give us understanding. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So the Lord may continue to bless us this morning. Our reading is going to be based in Matthew 13. So let's go there to Matthew chapter 13. And I'll be reading quite a bit this morning. And so the version is a little bit different. Just maybe try to follow a little bit. So Matthew 13, I'll read the first 20 verses. And this is usually known the parable of the sower. And it starts like this. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And a large crowd gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went to sow. And he sowed some seeds, and some seeds fell besides the road, and the birds came and ate them. And the others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Verse 7. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and were yielding a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, To you has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing, they do not see, and while hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. Verse 14, And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of the people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes, lest they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are you, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises, becomes because of the word, immediately he falls away. Verse 22. And the one whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the last verse, verse 23, and the one on whom seed was sown in the good soil, this is the man whose heart, who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, bringing forth some hundredfold, 60-fold, and some 30. Let the Lord bless his word. So this whole passage is very interesting because it deals with two things. One is the parable, and the other one is the reason why the parables. And let's see some key things first. The seed seems, or it is, the word of God. That's the seed, the word of God. Very simple. Notice that some of the seed did not grow. Actually, only one of them brings fruit, but some of them don't even grow. But the seed has managed to touch the soil. So the word manages to touch the person in a little bit. The message was for a lot of people. If we read here, it says there are a big crowd gathered and standing. This is important to notice because these all peoples may refer to everybody. So everybody can hear this word. It is a message for all of us in general, for every person that can hear it. The place was broad. Seems like it's next to the water. This is where the Lord goes into a boat. Seems to be the Sea of Galilee, Tiberias. He goes into the boat because there's a lot of people. And I don't know if you have noticed, when you speak on certain points of the water, the sound waves spread easy. Also, because there's a lot of people, he wants to be in a point where everybody can see him. So it's very interesting, the moment. Let's see who the sower is. Seems like it's the Lord Jesus Christ, or it could be any one of us bringing the message of the word. So it's the ministers or the Lord. So these are all the material we're going to be dealing with. The type of soils may represent the type of people, their personal behavior towards the word, their hearts. If we want to go more technically, their minds, where their head is. So the people are the types of soil. So there are different types of them and different responses towards the word. So as a matter of introduction, that's what we have. So let us start with the first one. The soil number one, I called it the careless one. So the first soil is careless, which I had to look into the word, less care. Person who doesn't pay really attention to something. I don't care would be pretty much the synonym. A careless. I really don't care about this word. So let's see what it says. Verse 4. As he sowed, some seed or some fell beside the road. This is the wayside, beside the road. And the birds came and ate them up. So we have to imagine the situation. Large fields of crops, but between field and field, there is a walk path. Path, walk, walkway, right? This is where the people walk. And this is where the sower is trying to seed in the good field, but some of it came right there where the people walk. Because of the walking of the people, there is a lot of rock, there is no grass, it is visible to the animals, and is easy target for the birds. That's pretty much what it is. So some of that seed falls there, easy target for the birds. The idea is to throw the seed in the good soil, but some of them may fall there. Now, this is a callous situation where there is no sensitivity, pretty much. Many have heard the word, and we know some folks, friend of us, and even some of us maybe here, that we have heard the messages many, many times. But at the end, we may ask, do you know what the sermon of today was? I don't know. It went flying. My mind was somewhere else. The word does not penetrate that and gets to the point where I really don't care. That's the careless ones. In all seriousness, they couldn't care any about the word. The message of salvation barely tickles their interest, if so. There's no conviction, there's no change, and obviously there's no desire to live the word. So we find that these individuals, unfortunately, are not saved. Don't get saved. The birds come, which is Satan, and removes what was sown. Satan comes and takes it off. Let's read verse 19, the explanation from the Lord himself. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, as there's understanding, that's gnosis, full understanding would be epignosis, there's not even gnosis, the evil one comes and snatches away what have been sown in their hearts. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road or the walkway, pretty much. Do we know if the person is this type of soil? We do not know. And that's why we go to everybody and preach the word. We bring the gospel to everybody because we don't know if this is a good soil or a walkway. So, brothers and sisters, for you who have the Word of God in your heart and you want to share it, go for it, because you don't know where it's going to fall. It may fall in good soil. It may fall there, but the Lord knows. Very good. This is the state of those who may also come for years to the chapel. Unfortunately, we have chapels all over the state, and some folks have been there for years. Years listening to the word of God, but they never act upon it. And we know that our brother, it's not even our brother, but it's just there. So we pray for these people. Hopefully they'll get convicted one day. There are some that are just next to the highway, very close to the field, but not there. You know, somebody says that the Lord doesn't have grandsons. Do you know what I mean with that? So I'm pretty much part of a family of Christians, but that doesn't make me a Christian. It's a personal thing. So either you are or you're not. So it doesn't matter if we come to the assembly for many, many years. Coming doesn't make me a believer. It is the relationship with the Lord. So what do? We continue to pray for them. And if you are one of these, I pray that the Lord will touch your heart so you can become a good soil. Are you one of these? Only God knows. Consider this. Even in the preaching of the Apostle Paul, we find a couple of people like that. And let me read to you real quick, if you want to go there, Acts chapter 17. Acts 17. Let's see if I can find the verses, verse 17:22. This is Paul preaching in Athens, speaking of hard rock soils. So Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I noticed this that says, 'To an unknown God.'" And we continue to read. Verse 29. Beginning, being then the offspring of God, we ought not to suppose that the divine nature is like God, gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the crafts and thought of man. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now commanding men that everyone, everywhere should repent. That's our key word right there. Because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he determined, having furnished proof to all by raising him from the dead. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 32. Now when they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer, but others said, "We shall hear you again concerning this." Which technically is saying, you know what, I don't care about your preaching. We'll hear you another day. Thank you very much. It was interesting, but they go away. All the preaching he gave, some believed, good soil. But some, they say, you know what, that's good. Not for me. And they walk away. So that's pretty much what we find here. Some of the seed falls there, they go away. Soil number two. Let's see what it says. I call this ones the emotional ones. Let's go back to Matthew where we were started in Matthew 13. Let's read verses 5 and 6. 5 and 6 read, "And others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." So now we find the other ones. We have the good soil, we have the pathway, and next to the pathway, there's a rocky area. Seems like this is where, you know, someone who is doing the ground, they do a pretty good job on preparing this ground. The rocks are put away. Here's where the walking people are going, walkway. Even when someone's walking, rocks we pushed away, pushed to the side. So here's like a long line of rocks, stones, pieces of gravel or small rocks. A little bit of dirt, not as bad as this one, but still no real good soil. The seed falls into this rocks. Difficult for the birds to get it because maybe it goes into the ground. But there is the scenario. Technically, there is a little bit of dirt there. There's a little bit of ground, but it's not the best still. So next one, we have this ones, and I call them the emotional ones. This may represent people who are emotional to reacting to a preacher, let's say. It was a beautiful sermon this morning. Oh, he preached so beautifully, but that's it. It doesn't go beyond that. The Word of God is nice to hear. The love of God, how God loves us. And this is what, in all reality, many mega churches are offering today, a preaching of so much only the love of God that a lot of people are looking for that. And they love it. They like it. But it's very shallow, very superficial. There's no depth to it. And it starts to grow. Seems like, oh, wow, it's a beautiful preaching. I like it. Folks that agree in most things gospel, they agree. They have a good time, actually, in the worship songs, or they have a good time in the vibe of Christianity. But there is no depth to that. Let's see what the explanation of the Lord says, 20 and 21 in Matthew 13, 20. And the one whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Nice word, I like it. Yet he has no root in himself, but is only temporary. Keyword is temporary. And when afflictions and persecutions arise because of the word, immediately he falls away. I have a brother, older brother, and he was into this, in Colombia, actually, South America, he was into this metal music. You know, it was Iron Maiden and all sort of metal music that he loved to hear. I go to his house one day, and he's got this giant speakers all out. The windows vibrate with this thing. And not judging, but that was what he liked. A church was established next to his house a couple years later. This is probably 1996. And all of a sudden, my brother becomes a believer. Wow. It was so nice to hear that he became a believer. And in all reality, the whole family thought he was going to change. And it lasted 6 months. And in those 6 months, he seemed like, I mean, it was tremendous. He read the Bible. He was into it. And something happened. The church had an issue. There was something going on with his girlfriend. And he needed to prove, like here we're saying, the word. He needed to either establish himself or fall, and seems like he did not. My brother is no longer a Christian. He's now been 20 years or so. So he never came back, but it was something that we thought it was. And I think that's an example of this rocky soil. People who really seems like they like it, but when the persecution comes, when you have to really be proven by fire, they fall behind. And at the end, we're going to see the reason why these people are falling behind, because they're lacking something. But we know that this rocky place had a little bit of that, of soil. Folks that agree, they want to do it, they sometimes even commit. They do this verbal profession. And I'm not against, you know, profession of faith and all that, but sometimes a simple yes, I agree to that doesn't mean you become a believer. I think the way that the Lord wants us to prove is to obey his commandments. He says it, if you love me, obey my commandments, follow them, do them, keep on going. By your fruits, by the fruits will be shown who they are. But they usually do this altar calling, they do this, they do that, but there's something that happens. The affliction comes and they fall behind. I tend to believe that there's no real conviction. I tend to believe that there is no real transformation of their heart. There's not a new believer in here. I have the feeling this is just a emotional state, and that's why I call the emotional ones. This reminds me of the moment when the Lord Jesus Christ, he's doing all these miracles, he's preaching the word, everybody's following him, and when something that they don't like appears or shows up in the message, they leave him alone. And this is in John 6. I'm just going to read it real quick. If you want to go there or want to write it down, it's John 6, 55 or 52. Let me see. John 6. And this is when the Lord is actually still in public ministry. And reads here, John 6, 52. It says, then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And this is when he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood. And it was kind of offensive. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 59, these things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" Some of them went away. Verse 66, as a result of this, many of his disciples went away and were not walking with him anymore. When the thing gets worse, when things get bad, that's when the emotional ones just go away. Are you an emotional one, brother or sister? Praise the Lord if you have the Holy Ghost in your heart, which will be the force, the driving motor that keeps us going through difficulty. The emotional ones did not pass the test of time. Let's move on to the third one. I call this one the entangled ones. Matthew 13, the entangled ones. Matthew 13, 7. It says, "And the others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out." Choked them out. There was no space enough for breathing. Some folks believe that these are true Christians that are just immersed in the world. And some others, like myself, I believe these are not believers. These are also similar to the emotional ones. They tried. They tried on their own forces and their own strength, but they couldn't. The entangled one. So let's see what it says. These folks are a bit more complex. Let's look at the soil as it is described here. The soil has thorns, has other elements in there. So going back to the illustration, we have the beautiful field with good soil. We have the pathway where everybody's walking around. There's not even grass on it. We have some rocks here, which is the residual of cleaning that land and the people probably throwing the stones to the side. And right before the good soil starts, we have the other plants, the thorns, the thistles, the other grass there, if you will. So this is a soil that has something in it, thorns in this case. It may have, the seed has to do either or. Either grows or it dies, or there's nothing. But seems like the seed tries to get life in there. And let's see what happens. The cares of this world, busyness of this world, the many things surrounding us, the individual starts to fight in his inside what to do. There's the Word of God trying to tell me I have to do this and this and that, but my life is full of this and I can't let it go. You know, as long as we are still attached to that, we won't be able to embrace this. Social media, whatever is entertaining you, maybe a life of too much work, maybe you're in school and there's just too much homework, or maybe it's a combination of everything, entertainment. I got here a couple of examples when I was with the kids. They told me video games is one of the big ones. Some kids they just don't have enough time because all their time is taken by their video game life. Friends, if we are only with friends, this is my life, my friends. Sports, some people are just into the sports. And there are some worse ones that have everything from video games to sports to work, and all this is a lot in our lives for sure. to the point that we have no time for God. There is no time for reading, for praying, for going to church. It's difficult to give 24-hour day, couple of hours for sleeping, and the rest is full of activities that had nothing to do with God. And this entanglements destroy the seed. There is no way a good plant give fruit if there is a lot of other stuff in there. Most of us have dealt with this. This is a busy country. I keep talking about my country, but let me tell you, in my country is very relaxed. It's so relaxed that you work your hours and still feels like it's very little part of the day. You wake up 7, 8, because you start work at 9, only work until about 3 p.m. You go home, there's the novella, you watch TV. You go with your friends like at 8 p.m., stay out there for a few hours. And it's very relaxed. It's like a world where there's nothing to do. But in the United States, I got to tell you, it's a busy world. It's very busy. You got to do this. Probably the distances also doesn't work. You have to drive like 30 minutes to one place, 40 minutes to the other, an hour to go back. So the day is so short. And besides that, you have extra activities in your daily life. But that doesn't mean we can't give to the Lord time. You know, a good number in the Old Testament was the tenth. The tenth is a good number to follow even for our giving. It's not mandatory now, but we can give even more than the tenth. Imagine if we give a tenth of our day to the Lord. So let's say our day is 24 hours. So we need to take 2.5 hours for God. Brother and sister, if you give the Lord every day 2.5 hours of your life, you will be blessed. Because that is a lot of time compared to what we give Him. And I am guilty as charged. Sometimes I don't give in a single minute. I wake up in the morning, short prayer, go to work, get back home, the end of the day. How much we read, how much we pray, how much we just meditate in God. You know, some brother once said, sometimes you don't even need to read and pray and do all these things. You just stay and think about God. Just focus on the beauty of Him and praise Him. Brothers and sisters, thorns are no good. Some believers, Bible scholars, they believe this represents some of the Christians. But I have my own position. I believe a Christian cannot have this type of entanglement to the point that there is no fruit. Every believer has to bring forth fruit. So this may represent a heart of a person who is desiring God but cannot let go of all the stuff that is in his life. That's the reason why the Lord said to Nicodemus, it is necessary for you to be born again. A newborn is a new life, and all this stuff goes in the back. From now on, God is the center focus of my life, and all this entanglement, all this entertainment, all this devilish stuff that we do is behind. But it's sad when we are true believers and we're trying to embrace that without letting go of this. And no one can serve two masters. So you either hate one or love the other one. And it is necessary, brothers, to let that go. If there is something in your life nowadays that is entangling you, I pray that you let that go. There is a couple of verses. Let me read these verses for you. One of them is in Luke chapter 9. It's five verses, actually. Let's go to Luke, just to illustrate a little bit of this. Luke chapter 9, verse 57. How's my time? Oof. Wow, I only got zero minutes. 0 minutes. Okay, Luke 9, verse 57. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me to go first and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say farewell to those at home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand on the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And here is simply saying, there are many things that we want to do before God. I just got to finish this and then I'll follow you, Lord. Forget about that. Just follow the Lord. Follow the Lord. Forget about that. We don't need that stuff. You know, when we're young, we believe this is important. And then when we're old, we look back and that was not even close to important. But we got to let go. Another verse. Let's go to another verse. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Very well-known verse. This verse talks volumes to me. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. The idea is to please God, and that's why I let go of these things. No good soldier entangles himself with that stuff. We let go. We move on. That's as a believer. And last but not least, I'm just going to read this one in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, right there. It says, for Demas, this is a guy who was working with Paul, Demas, having loved this present age or this world, he has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. That's all we know about Demas after that. But anyway, so the entangled ones, no bueno. So we got this group of other individuals. Do we know if anybody's entangled? We may. We may have some friends who they want to follow the Lord, but they just can't let go. We pray for them. We pray for them. All right. And last but not least, in the last 3 minutes I got, Matthew 13, verse 8, the good soil. And the others fell on the good soil and were yielding a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's look at the soils that are good. Notice that it starts, at least in this version, with the coordinate conjunction but. But is a contrasting word. So we have this three over here, but we have that. So we have the road, the fissile, the rock, the stony, all this, but we have that. That talks to me that there's a big difference between you're on this state, you don't want to be there, but you want to be there in a good soil. And interesting that the first three did not have fruit, right? But the good soil has three different type of fruit. One of it is 100%. And praise the Lord for those brothers and sisters that are example to us. That they are people that we can look up to follow their steps as believers. Then there's the 60%, people who are also followers of the Lord that have a fruitful life, that you say, okay, maybe I don't have 100, but I got 60. Yeah? And maybe some of us, and I am in probably in this category with a 30, maybe lesser degree. But the good thing is that in Christ, we have fruit. In Christ, we have fruit. Because you have the Holy Ghost in your heart. And salvation comes in a package. The package is complete. It has a seal, the Holy Ghost. It has the fruit of the Spirit because the Spirit indwells in you. We have gifts. We have the ability to do things for God. And in all reality, we are sons of God. Not for our, I'm so good, but because of Him, because of Christ. He gets all the glory. So whatever you do is for His glory. And we just read it. It's for His glory. We glorify God. And in the end, when the books are open, they say, Eduardo, let's see what you did. This is because God enabled me when He saved me. Brothers and sisters, you are in Christ. You have the motor. You have the gasoline. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the combustion in you for doing things for the Lord. Don't let the world entangle you. Sin entangle you. Things that are holding you. You know, it's chain and ball. Sin is a chain and ball. We can't move. We got to remove that thing and move on. And if you have fallen by anything, we have our advocate, the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray. Ask the Lord for forgiveness and move on, because you're not seed in bad soil. You're in good soil. We need to give fruit for God. And you will. Even if we die, we are the fruit for Christ because He died for us. Our soul has been saved. Even in death, we are glorifying the Lord. So in life, let's glorify the Lord. Brothers, I encourage you to manage to work the good work and to be fruitful for the Lord. There's so much out there to do, so much in here to do. There's so much to do everywhere. But sometimes life, the devil, entanglements, things of this world that has no meaning for us as believers are surrounding us. Let us free of all this stuff and fight the good fight. Brothers and sisters, this is the encouragement I wanted to share with you this morning. Let us pray, and the Lord may continue to bless our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, for this simple illustration, O Lord, with so much meaning. Thank You for giving us Your word, for Your Holy Ghost, for the opportunity to understand these things. And as You told Your disciples, to us it is given these ministries and these mysteries. Oh Lord, thank You once again for the opportunity to be part of the family of God. And we pray for our family members and friends who are still on the sidelines. And we pray that their hearts be ready, it has good soil, oh Lord. Once again, we commit their lives and our lives into Your hands. Help us, oh Lord, to be mindful of these things and to be diligent, active workers to produce the fruit that You want us to produce, oh Lord. We continue to worship Your name. We praise Your name, oh Lord. And we ask this thing in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.